Well, good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name to everyone that's here this morning. Bring greetings from the church at Frankfort. Welcome any of you to stop by and visit us if you have opportunity. Not that far away, so we just drove up this morning. My assignment, as was already mentioned, your community, your mission field, I was due to preach this message in December of last year, so I'm a little bit late. Thank you for your patience. It took me a little longer to get here than what I anticipated, but had a pretty full schedule in December, and so the last couple months got away from me. But glad to be here with you this morning and preach this message. And this message has done me a lot of good as I studied for it as well. So I want to talking to myself here this morning, and I want to allow the Word of God to be manifest this morning and not my own thoughts. As we think of the title, Your Community, Your Mission Field, I asked Brother Dwight what he had in mind when he gave me this assignment. And he said just to preach whatever the Lord lays on your heart. So I think I'll do that this morning. I spent some time in studying, and as I thought of this title, it actually explains it pretty well. Your community, your mission field. What do we think of when we think of our community? Well, it's pretty simple. It's usually the community, the area we live in. Oftentimes we think of maybe 20, 30 miles from us. I don't know, maybe further than that, but it's community is usually something that's local, something maybe it's our place where we work, our hometown, our neighbors, neighborhood, closest shopping center. Maybe it's usually something it's local, usually close by us. A community is formed of a group of people connected by shared identities, interests, or locations, characterized by active participation, mutual support, or common goals. Successful communities often have welcoming atmospheres that encourage trust and open-mindedness among members of that community. And as we think of community, we could, oftentimes I think it as something local, but we could also go out further than just 20 to 30 miles. And I think the opening this morning is I think of the neighbor there that Jesus was talking about. Who is my neighbor? It seems like it would go further than just community oftentimes. And we'll probably touch on some of that this morning. Your mission field. A mission field is often a religious context or location where missionaries or Christians work together to share their faith, provide aid, or support in serving the community around them. It represents a field of service where there is a need for the gospel. Environments like workplaces, schools, and neighborhoods. The mission field is not just distant locations, but where you live, your daily life, where you work, your community, right here in Somerset or right in Frankfort. Wherever you live, the people you associate with, your community, your mission. What is your mission? What did Jesus say our mission was supposed to be? In community and mission, those two words aren't found in the Bible anywhere. But the Bible is all about mission work. It's what Jesus really came for. Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor, other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors. It's a metaphor here that Jesus was using, an agricultural metaphor in this scene. Look at the fields around you. We don't have to go to a foreign land to be a missionary. We have a mission right here. It requires immediate action. Don't wait. Today is your opportunity. Oftentimes we think of doing things for other people, and we think about looking out too far. Look right around you today. There's many opportunities. It speaks here of joyful labor, working together to bring souls to Christ. That should be our mission. Jesus gave us clear direction in his word, and that was what Jesus' life here was all about, was about the mission he came to fulfill, was to redeem mankind back to him. We had fallen away, and Jesus came to redeem us. Your community, your mission field. There are so many examples of Jesus reaching out to others with a true servant heart to bless his community and those that were around him. That's it. It's simple. We don't have to make it complicated. But it does take laying ourselves aside. It does take self-sacrifice. This message is about giving up ourselves and being useful for God's glory. From the time you wake in the morning till the time you go to bed, you should be looking for opportunities to bless others and having that servant heart as Jesus did. Looking for ways where you can help others. It should be a lifestyle, something that you live, out, not something you put on. Sometimes we think of going on the mission field and maybe you say you're going to put your mission hat on and put boots to the ground. Well, you should already be doing it here. If you're not doing it here, you're probably not going to make a very effective missionary anywhere else. It's not something we put on and put off. It should be something that we have on all the time. If you aren't a missionary right here where you live, you probably won't be very successful in Nigeria or Honduras or Africa or Nicaragua or you name it. Our mission field is right here among us. Our goal in our mission endeavor should be to share God's love to others, to minister to others as Jesus did. We want others to know the love of Jesus. There's many people out there that have never heard of Christ's love. And the things that we do, the things that we do for others, by the way we live our life, will and can, should portray that to others. That's what it's about this morning. Jesus was one of the greatest examples of this by the life he lived. He reached out to people wherever he went. His mission was to lead people to God, to do the Father's will. He says in John chapter 6, verse 38, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus reached out and touched the leper. He took interest in the social outcasts. He blessed families, took an interest in children. He was available 24/7 with that true servant's heart. Even the account where Brother Dave touched on this morning, that man that came to him and asked, who is my neighbor? I can't remember if he was the one that came to him by night or not. That was the ruler, Nicodemus, I think. Came to Jesus by night. I don't know what time of the night it was, but Jesus was available even during the night to people like that. He didn't have hours. Just touching on a few accounts in the Bible where Jesus reached out to help others as we think of our mission. Jesus was in the ship in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. A lot of these references I won't be turning to this morning, just briefly going over them. There's so many in the Bible, and we can't cover them all this morning, but I'd like to go over a few here. And as Jesus was in this ship, the storm came up on the water, and the disciples were torn to shreds of what they should do. And they came to Jesus and asked him why he's not helping them. And Jesus gets up and says, "Peace, be still," and the water just calms. The paralyzed man that Jesus talked with in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, we have the account there. And I'm just going to turn and read this account. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. At least read the first few verses here. "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Just thinking a little bit about this account. Says Jesus was here in the house. People heard that he was there and they just flocked to him. What was it about Jesus that the people just came to him? I don't know whether a lot of these people came to be healed of Jesus or to just hear him preach or to just maybe see him of the things that they had heard, but people came to Jesus, and I believe it was because he was living as a missionary. He had a love for them that they felt. People felt that. They knew they wouldn't get turned away. And it just impresses me when I read this account how this house filled up, and these people came with this man that was sick and needed to see Jesus. And they didn't even, to me as I was thinking about this, why wouldn't they just have waited? They knew that eventually Jesus was probably going to come out of the house. I don't know. I'm not sure why they did. Maybe they thought he was going to run out of power and there wasn't going to be any energy left for them. I'm not sure. But they went to the rooftop and let him down, started taking the roof off to let him down through the roof. And, you know, picture yourself there in that building as Jesus standing there and the roof starts to come off and here comes this person down through the roof. I don't know what commotion that would have made, but it says Jesus didn't, I don't know what if there was a lot of words that Jesus said there, but he did say, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And this man was healed. The blessing that he brought to people wherever he went was just amazing. We have the deaf man in Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37. Just turn to that scripture as well. Mark 7, verse 31 through 37. "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, being opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged him that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it." You know, I don't know why Jesus told people not to tell anyone else. Didn't he know that they were going to? It was just interesting as I thought about that. It seems his fame spread and word got out everywhere he went. How many times are we afraid that if we help someone in a situation, they'll tell 10 other people and we'll be 10 times busier? Do we ever think about that? I do. Sometimes. You know, Jesus took time for this person and healed him. I don't know what Jesus had going that day. Not sure how busy he was. Really doesn't say here. We have the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. I'm not going to take the time to turn to that, but we know the story how Jesus came to the well and asked for a drink. And she was fairly confused that he would ask her for a drink because of the dealings that the Samaritans didn't have with the Jews. But Jesus knew how to open the conversation to this person to get involved with her life. And it's a challenge for us when we, you know, this was a woman that was looked down on from the Jews. Sometimes those are the people that we can reach the best. People that are, maybe they're not expecting it from us. And we can somehow reach their heart by some kind deed or something that we, maybe a question we ask of them. Jesus walked with the lowly and also with the great. It didn't make a difference where you were from or what title you held. He took time for the lowest down people, and he also took time to talk with the scribes and Pharisees, even though they were extremely critical. Jesus took time for them as well. We think of the adulterous woman that the Pharisees brought to Jesus and tempted him. Believe they were just trying to see what Jesus was going to say about someone that was taken in sin. We know how the story went. Jesus told them, "He that is without sin, let him first cast a stone." And after all of them left, he told the woman, he asked her a question, "Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "None, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Jesus' words to that woman healed her, I believe, in that moment. The love that he had, the love that he showed to that woman was what she needed at that point in her life. Then we have Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was always an interesting character to me. As I think of someone that was high up politically in the world, a tax collector, oftentimes looked at as someone that cheated. We have that account in Luke 19, verse 1 through 10. Just going to turn to that. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. Jesus was coming through Jericho here, and as he was coming through Jericho, Zacchaeus wanted to go see him. And it says he couldn't reach Jesus because of his short stature. He was too short. The crowd around Jesus was too large, and he couldn't get to him. So he got a bright idea and ran into a tree and climbed that tree and was going to wait till Jesus came walking underneath. Well, as Jesus walked underneath, he looked up, it says, he looked up in chapter 5 and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." How do you think Zacchaeus felt? Did Jesus know that Zacchaeus, did he know what for person he was running into here? You know, I'm not sure. But it says later on that salvation came to his house that day. And Zacchaeus made a complete turnaround from where he was going in his life. Praise the Lord. That's the power of the work of Christ. And Jesus took time for him. And I think that's where the difference was. Jesus' love that he showed to him and the time he took for him made the difference. Then we have in Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 13, Jesus crossed the shore over to another country, and when he gets there's a man that meets him out of the tombs, a naked man, dirty, unkept, possessed. And we remember the story. Jesus rebuked the demons and they asked if they could go into the pigs, and we know the rest of the story, how that went. It was a disaster for that country, for their livelihood, whoever's pigs those were. And the people actually asked Jesus to leave, and he did. But Jesus was touching hearts wherever he went. And I believe it's still that way for us today. If we want to be an effective missionary, we just touch hearts wherever we go. And there's places that we'll go that we'll probably have to, you know, not everyone will accept us. But are we still sharing God's love to others, even if people may take it the wrong way? He was rejected sometimes for doing good. Sometimes that'll happen in our mission endeavors. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16, Jesus blessed the children. People started bringing children to him, and the disciples said, "Hey, Jesus is busy here. He doesn't have time for the children. He's doing bigger, important things." Jesus said, "No, bring them. Suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God." Little children. The Bible talks as becoming as a little child. To be an effective minister in your community, an effective missionary, you need to become as a little child. Humble. Not childish, but as a little child. There's a difference there. The ruler that came to Jesus by night, I mentioned already. We'll leave that one. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11 through 15, he brought the widow's son back to life. In John 13, he washed the disciples' feet. And here again, it was just out of a servant heart. He was showing his disciples what it is to serve. Your community, your mission field, how is it with us today? Where and how can we effectively be a mission to our community around us? And there's a lot more examples that we could look at, how Jesus was a missionary wherever he went. But I'd like to bring it a little closer to home. We live in America where there's a lot of independence. People have a lot more than they do in most parts of the world. And we live in a well-to-do area. So how can we share? You know, we might not have the poor people that they do in some countries, but they are here among us. There are some among us. We don't have to look very far. We bump into them. As we think of our mission and those around us, I don't know why, but this week, I'm not sure if the Lord was trying to tell me something or not, but I ran into this lady this week that called into the shop and wondered if we, she wants some help with an electric bill. And I didn't actually talk with her. I was on the phone when she called, so the note came to my desk. And afterward, I called her on the way home and talked with her for a while, and here she had been, her electric had been shut off, and it was off for about a week or so. And I found out later she was living with her mom at the time. But what do we do with those things? You know, I thought about it. I was like, you know, they don't come to, I don't have those phone calls every month, but for some reason I got that this week. I'm not sure. The Lord was probably trying to tell me something. I did end up helping her then, and but yeah, God brings those situations to our attention sometimes, and we don't, you know, what do we do with them? Do we help them? How do we help them? It makes a difference, I think. We have, just around us there at home, we have one neighbor there that had four children and a wife. Today he's living by himself. A little bit of a sad situation there, but it's right next to us. And there's needs to minister to. Like, there's just, how often do I go talk with him? Take him supper or something. It just hits me sometimes how much I do for him. And it's right there. On the other side of us, we have a nice elderly couple. I've talked with them several times. Sometimes he'll be taking his trash out, and I'll holler a word. We'll holler a word or two back and forth, and we have a single older lady lives next to them. Down the road from them, there's a young boy. His parents are separated. He lives by himself there. Maybe his girlfriend now. I'm not exactly sure. And then we have a nice older man down the road a little further. He's a jolly type of person, and I seem to get along well with him. Not sure why. Maybe it's because he doesn't have any needs. I don't know. But I've wondered already, you know, why. Yeah. Then we have Chillicothe, which is 10 miles or so away. There's a lot of needs there. Just one thing that I thought of is the prison. There's 90-some inmates there that are on death row. And it's like, you know, that's a real mission field. Recently, there's a group that goes in there some, and my brother was involved with it, and he went in there and met these inmates. You have to go by yourself with one of the guards, and they go from cell to cell, and they passed out cookies to these people on death row. Can't really say. I think you can maybe, a couple words you can say, but it's not much. You don't get to talk with them much. But the little bit that they can do with that ministry is reaching those hearts. And it's not much, but the little that we can do, God can bless to much. So let's remember that. The little bit that we can do, God can use it for His glory and make much out of it. You might not have an opportunity to do something big, but do something small. You never know how far it will go in your community. Our community is a real mission field. It's a real opportunity where we can use to bless others. Our workplace is a mission field. The people that we work with, the people that we work for, people that we associate with, our customers, our employees, or whoever it is, those that can be a real mission field. There at the shop, I enjoy some of the conversations that I've ran into with some employees and some customers already. It's really been stretching for me, inspirational. just the other day, one of the employees mentioned something about we should have someone here that carries, because of some of the people that come in through the door, you know, just, you know, what do we do if someone comes in and holds a gun to your face? So it was an interesting conversation. I took some time to, there was a couple of us that actually were in that conversation, but it was interesting. And he knew how we felt. He could go with that. It was just, but anyway, interesting opportunities like that come up sometimes, and we can share how we feel and why we feel that way. Then we have another employee there that his wife just went through surgery for cancer, and he was pretty had him fairly worried, which makes sense. I actually took the opportunity and prayed with him one day, and he appreciated that. It was just a small thing that touched his life. And there's many things that we can do like that they're small and insignificant maybe, but it does make a difference. People remember that, and it's a seed sown in their heart for Christ's love. Christ's love can, that little seed can grow up to be something great. We never know. Here probably about a year ago, it was about, I don't know, 9 o'clock or so in the evening, I was relaxing, and the neighbor wondered if I can come over and help her move her stuff. And I knew this was kind of the situation where him and his wife they were going through a separation, and he hadn't been there for a while, and so they were moving out, and there was a couple bigger objects that they'd wondered if I can help move. I did give him help with someone else's help then, and you know, sometimes those situations you wonder a little bit. It you think you need to be a little careful, but I felt it was something that I needed to help with, and I did. And I think if we ask God for wisdom sometimes to direct those things, he does give it to us. But there's different ways we can help in those situations as well. And I'm sure you all have stories of how these people come knocking on your hearts too, on your doors. I'd like to hear some of those. But the point is, I know we have many places that we can help, and people that we can help. Are we doing those small things as they come? Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." I like to think of ourselves as the salt in our area, in our community. Every household has at least one salt shaker. And can you imagine yourself as a salt shaker in your community, sprinkling salt here and there, blessing other people's lives where you go? Most of us, all of us know that without salt, food is pretty bland. Recently, I went to Aldi, and I was walking with my wife there shopping, and I saw some cashews, and I like cashews, so I grabbed a can, I took it home, opened it up, and just wasn't what I expected, and I saw pretty soon it was because they were unsalted. And a little bit of salt can change and make a big difference, and I think that's what we should be to our community, a salt shaker in our community. You don't need to do something large to make a large impact. Something small, like blessing someone's day with a kind word, maybe a smile, letting someone know you're praying for them, taking them a plate of cookies or a meal, going to see someone at the hospital, just dropping in and seeing someone, a neighbor, whoever it is, volunteering to mow an elderly person's yard or push snow off their porch. Check up on someone when the power is out just to make sure they're doing fine. Sitting on your porch and creating some space or time for people to come talk. Sometimes we're so busy, we're just going and going, and we come home, we eat supper, we got a few things to do outside, and then we go hurry to bed. Next morning we get up at 6 o'clock and we're going again, and there's never an opportunity for people to talk to us. Creating that space, or having that feeling of welcome that people can come talk to you, that's a place that I want to personally work on myself. Going to the foreign field doesn't make it a missionary, doesn't make you a missionary. I believe the mission heart needs to start within us here at home. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. In our communities, our talk, and the way we conduct ourselves speaks loudly to the community. The priorities we set, the way we treat others, the joy we express, the fellowship we enjoy, the concern we demonstrate to people in need, all speaks of who or what we are concerned about. Is it ourself or is it others? They can feel that. Our neighbors and people around us can feel that. Sometimes we have, there was something I was going to read here this morning, but I'm running out of time, so I'll leave it. But in our fast-paced society, sometimes we forget. And sometimes we have to make more intentional effort, I believe, to stop and when we see a need and just stop. You know, sometimes I'm driving down the road and I see a situation. It's easy sometimes to just breathe a prayer and hope someone helps them. That's what the Levite and the priest did, didn't they? Something similar. May God help us to take the opportunities as they come and to remember that we have a community, we have a mission field right here in our community, and to lift up our eyes and behold the white fields around us. May God bless you as you do that in the community here. Pray for me as I continue to grow in that as well. May the Lord bless. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.